Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Welcome back to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Nope, not Tim. This is Abe Hamilton. I'm here with Fred Jackson, Director of American Family News and One News Now. I'd just like to say onenewsnow.com is a place where you want to visit if you want to stay up to date with all of the latest news and information, but information conveyed, one, from a biblical worldview, as well as stories that may be in the mainstream news media, but with angles that are not covered in mainstream news. And I'm sure, as I'm saying that, many of you can think about why some of the mainstream news outlets probably won't cover some of the popular stories from every possible angle, and why they probably will pass on other stories. So One News Now is a great, great, great resources for all of your news and information. So I encourage you to visit that and make it a part of your daily routine to keep up with today with the issues of the day.
People underestimate, Abe, the power of the media to sway a culture. Because, you know, if you're used to getting your news from ABC and CBS and NBC, mm-hmm. I mean, and we've seen it in this election cycle, New York Times, to mention a print, they are unapologetic. The New York Times in particular stated publicly they are out to defeat Donald Trump. All right? This is what the New York Times said. Now, the CNN and NBC and ABC and CBS did not make it public. But, you know, we look at their material and there's no question. I mean, everything that Donald Trump says is bad. Mm-hmm. And here's why. But Hillary Clinton will go out and do all kinds of things. And they just report what she says. They don't add on, here's what we think about what she said. But they do that with Donald Trump all the time. Mm-hmm. I have never, and I've been in the news business now about 40 years, I have never seen an election cycle where the mainstream media is so biased against one candidate. Never.
Never?
This is the extreme.
Wow.
This is the extreme. Now, back in 2007, 2008.
It was pretty bad then.
No, I never saw media so much in favor of a candidate.
I see what you're saying.
Here's the difference this time. This time, it's media so much against
a candidate.
One. I don't think the mainstream media really likes Hillary Clinton a whole lot, but
no.
They really, because they know that she has such negatives in the American public's opinion out there, the only thing they can do is to go after the candidate who's opposing her. And it has been an incredible cycle. We read this stuff every day. We shake our heads. And what we try to do at American Family News and through onenewsnow.com is find people who will do some analysis, but they do it from the perspective of, okay, just because the mainstream media said this was wrong, what Donald Trump said, use for example, one of the big stories still in the news is what Donald Trump said about his taxes.
Mm-hmm.
He was just using the existing laws,
mm-hmm.
so he didn't pay taxes.
Mm-hmm.
All right, hands up everybody out there. When you go get your taxes done, you hope that your tax preparer is going to help you to avoid paying if there's legally avoid paying the taxes you don't need to pay.
Yeah, but you know that's where worldview comes in, because you know how they're going to convey it, because the dominant view of the mainstream media is that, well, if you have to pay your fair share, I mean it's socialism. So
yeah.
If they see anybody using the legal system to thwart their socialistic dreams, then they of course become enemy number one.
Yeah.
So And that is how it's going to be conveyed. You know, this, you know, big businessman who always tries to stiff the little guy.
Greedy.
Yeah, because they think his money is their money.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. Hillary Clinton did the same thing.
Did the exact same thing.
She used the same law
as
Donald Trump did.
That's right.
To minimize the amount of tax money she has to pay.
Yeah, but of course, you know, the more money involved, the more evil you are. So if you know, he uses it for $916 million. He's big evil. Whereas if she does it for, you know, $700,000 or so, then that's nothing. I mean, it's Donald Trump that's keeping us from our money, you know, not her.
That's right.
I mean, and it's ridiculous, yep. But that is the ideology that drives the difference in handling those two issues.
Well, it's like Jack Sunderman was just saying, our guest from Australia, it is socialism.
It is.
You know, it's part of this much bigger agenda that's out there that our kids through the university system, our media, have been indoctrinated now for 30, 40 years.
Absolutely.
We're seeing this, and of course, some of these people have become judges.
Yeah.
So it goes, the case goes to the court system. They're going to, they worship an ideology. We worship the God of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
They worship an ideology. And they are fervent about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like Jack was talking to us about, being fervent about what you believe.
Mm.
George Barna says this, you do what you believe.
That's right.
It used to be say, you say what you believe.
No, you do.
You do what you believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, I know, in this election cycle, people need to be doing what they say they believe.
Yeah, I say it this way. Whenever there's a contradiction between your speech and your feet are probably telling the truth.
That's right. Yeah, that's
your
great.
Feet are probably telling the truth.
That's great.
Well, we have a new guest, another guest on the phone line with us. Fred, do you want to introduce our new guest?
Yeah, our new guest is an important topic, critical topic. Parents right now, you're listening, and you have experience a problem with a child of yours, or you're newlyweds, you don't have children yet. This may happen to you. And our guest is, and I hope I'm pronouncing this very right, Dina Joy. Is that correct?
That's it. Hi.
I got
Thank
it.
Thank you for having me today.
I was worried about that, Dina. I have to tell you, I started reading your book yesterday, and I'm going to get this wrong. I've got to hope that I got it right. So, Dina, so good to have you with us. You've written, "You Are Not Alone: Hope for Hurting Parents of Troubled Kids." I think probably, Dina, right now we have an audience that can say amen. How can you help us? So, Dina, tell us about it. First, tell us, what was the genesis behind you writing this book?
Well, it was my own personal 10-year journey with one of our children, our middle child, daughter, who first cut herself when she was 12, hid emotional anxiety, depression problems that finally erupted in her teen years, and then she began experimenting with ways to self-medicate, drugs, alcohol. So that whole path, the self-injury, rehabs by the time she had graduated from high school, and over the years, in and out with relapses, and the Baker acting because of the mental health issues. So, yes, ended up walking a path we never dreamed or imagined we would have, especially as Christian parents, who were also involved in full-time ministry.
You know, and that's such an important point, and part of this story is that many times our society, you know, well, you're Christian parents, this would never happen in your house.
Mm-hmm.
So many testimonies out there of Christian parents, they're doing everything they possibly can, get your kids to church, and when they're younger, get them in Sunday school. But that's never a guarantee, is it, Dina, that everything is just going to turn out rosy?
Well, that was terribly disappointing because I followed everything I was hearing, read all the books, and was just absolutely certain that if you did A and B, you would get C. And because we had with our firstborn, we thought we had this all figured out. And then we got the big surprise that, oh, no, that doesn't always work. She has her own free will. And, yeah, that created a lot of shame and embarrassment, which kept us completely withdrawn and isolated, which was just awful.
Dina, this is Abe here. If you don't mind,
hey,
would you... Hi, good morning. Would you share a little bit more? Because I think that may be one of, and I'll clarify what I mean, that may be one of the issues that may go under the radar when this topic is raised. The isolation, the separation that the parents of the child, that they may feel, especially within the church community. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Oh, yeah. Special church. We are really bad at looking down on those whose kids aren't doing what we think they should be doing, especially if we haven't experienced that, because somewhere along the way, we have bought into this lie that there's a formula, that if we do it all right, we'll get a certain outcome. And what God revealed to my husband, which was so pivotal for us, helping us deal with our guilt and shame, was to remember God, the ultimate rejected, brokenhearted parent, the only perfect one, and what happened in the garden with his first two children all the way back in Genesis 2, that he made no mistakes, he didn't do anything wrong, but look what his first two kids did, and so why do we expect more from ourselves if he, being perfect, couldn't even get the results he wanted? That was huge and helped us so much, because until that time, you don't want people to think less of you. You don't want them to think less of your child. Everybody walking around thinking, oh, what did they do? What's really going on inside their home? And only you really know the truth. So, yeah, it's one of my soapboxes, just talking about this issue, because we really, on so many fronts, that it's okay not to be okay, not to be perfect.
In your materials, in the book, actually, you noted that you began noticing clues in your daughter's behavior from early adolescence. What warning signs should parents look for if they suspect that their child may be struggling?
Yeah. Well, some things that really do let you know that something's going on would be a big change in their circles of friends. If they start spending a lot of time alone in their room, the color and the kinds of clothes they're wearing, if suddenly they're wearing really dark clothes or dark girls, darker makeup. Our daughter dyed her hair black, and she was wearing a lot of black and the black nail polish, and it was a clear statement for her of what she was feeling inside. Another one might be if their grades suddenly start to drop. And then the kind of music they're listening to. We were very strict about what we allowed and didn't allow. When she was drawn to the angry, depressive music, that was another good indicator she was not doing well.
It's interesting. You see these kinds of signs. Tell us a little bit, if you had to go back and do it again, would you intervene when you start to see these signs, or what point do you intervene, and how do you go about doing that?
Well, that's pretty hard. We wish we would have intervened sooner, yes. There was a lot of fear in it.
It seems like Ms. Joy, she was saying that she wished she could have intervened a little sooner. This is something, Fred, and you and I have talked about this a little bit off the air, because, you know, I have young children.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just want to be candid right now. And I'm going to get to this point. Oftentimes in the conservative movement, obviously we are pro-life. Mm-hmm. We're obviously pro-life. But I often say, are we really pro-life, or are we just pro-conception and delivery? And the reason why I say that is if you have a family who walks into a church with more than 2.5 children, you should see the looks that you get from church people.
Interesting.
From church people. Mm. And you would think, well, this is a place where we know the first command was be fruitful, multiply. You know, we know, hey, we're pro-life, you know, anti-abortion. But the real, how pro-life are we? And I'm saying that to get to this point. Included in that, which I've said repeatedly, one of the things our country is suffering from is the misunderstanding that it is the church's role to disciple children. It's not. It's the parents' role, not the church's. And we've, as Dina was saying, with our often formulaic approach, we think with children, A plus B equals C. But I think another thing, I'm getting on my own soapboxes, within our church, we have such a lack sometimes, not always, because I don't want to paint with a broad brush, because I know we have some great churches in our country. But sometimes we have such a lack of relationship within the body of Christ. We kind of get these separate and detached critics. You know, and as Dina was saying, where she was going through, her family were going through what they were going through with her daughter, the amazing shame and condemnation foisted upon them for dealing with what they were dealing with. Whereas I think that's very easy to do. That is only easy to do when there's not real relationship to begin with in the first place. When I know you, Fred, and I see, if for example, if I see you going through something, struggling with your health, that doesn't put me in a position to say, I wonder why he wasn't running 3 miles a day. You know, I told him he should have started, should have stopped eating all of that. You know, my immediate response is, how can I help? Well, that applies also to when we struggle with our children.
Yeah.
It's very easy when we don't have a real relationship to say, I wonder what such and such must have done wrong in their home to allow a little June bug to turn out the way they turned out. And it's really, really a stinging indictment on the body of Christ when that is the immediate response to a family that's suffering with a difficult situation with a child, as opposed to one where the immediate response is one of compassion.
Yeah.
And one of gathering around that family and embracing them with the love of God. And remember, love doesn't mean that you don't speak the truth, you don't tell the truth, you don't have difficult conversations when they're necessary. But love is pretermitted, or should I say, it's led by compassion. I love you more than I'm concerned about your right or wrong approach to a particular issue. And my commitment to you supersedes whatever you may have done right or wrong. Let's together approach this issue. Let's walk through this together. Even if I don't have the pat response that would be necessary, I'm willing to, at a minimum, sit down and listen.
Yeah. I think the problem today is, all right, we're still working, trying to get our guest back, Dina Yoy, who has some real words of wisdom in her book, You Are Not Alone, Hope for Hurting Parents of Troubled Kids. In listening to it, and you've got five little ones.
Four. I have four.
Four? Mm-hmm. Okay. And their age from?
From my oldest is will be six, and will be super soon, in a month or two, will be six, then four, then two, and then 5 months.
I know. Precious kids.
Little steps.
Precious kids.
Stair steps.
And you're hitting on this point. I think, you know, we have this image, even inside the Christian community, of defining success. And success is your kids are all angels and they never do anything wrong. And then when something goes wrong, as our guest was saying, Dina, they all have the right to make a choice that I'm a failure and I want to keep this a secret. I'm not going to talk to anybody about it. And then others may say, yeah, they are a failure because they find out, oh, bad parents, whatever you've done. Instead of, what was it, Thomas Edison, how many times did he fail in developing the light bulb? We know what he did, his success, but there were many failures leading up to that. And so we have our guest back. Dina, you're back with us?
Yeah, that was interesting. Both phones went dead, the landline.
Well, you know, we've often said the devil doesn't like good conversation.
And, that's right.
And that's what happens. I think we were talking about helping parents to maybe detect earlier on when you're seeing signs. You were talking about signs that you saw in your daughter. Are there things that you look back on, should I have intervened at some point earlier?
Yeah, I think it would have been when she was 12 and cut herself the first time. There really wasn't, there weren't any other indicators earlier. She also does suffer from a sensory processing disorder, something that causes the individual to be overly sensitive to all of the external stimulus, touch, taste, sound, and so on. Today, she may have been diagnosed as a much younger child, and that may have helped because that creates a lot of angst and anxiety and so on. But not knowing what to look for, not being aware of anything like that, probably wouldn't known to even do anything. So probably it would have been when she cut herself the first time. And today she says, yes, offering her that opportunity to at least talk to her counselor may have helped. So she and we both now encourage people the first time that you even think you see something to try and overcome your fear and go talk to the physician, take them for a checkup, talk to a counselor. It can't hurt, and they can help assess if there is something more going on.
How are things going now?
Fortunately, things are going very, very well. Renee is 29, and she is finally doing a lot of hard work on herself for her our own recovery, working in every area of her life, and we're very happy about that.
Not giving up, huh?
Yeah, not giving up.
Dina, I have another question because, and first of all, let me say this. Thank you so much for writing this book and having the courage to share this. Because I know you know this personally, but I know there are many of our listeners who are dealing with this issue right now. And one, hearing that somebody else has dealt with it and has moved through it and still working through it gives great encouragement because, you know, one of the tricks of the enemy is to make people think when they're suffering a particular setback that you're the only one dealing with it. That's one of the things that happens. But I know that this type of scenario, when it occurs, it has the potential to really affect and potentially derail marriages. How would you describe that? And what do you say? What would you say are some of the potential effects as a result of dealing with something like this with the children in the home?
Well, yes, any stress puts a marriage at risk, whether it's a health issue, financial issue, or this kind of issue with your child. So we realized right away when our daughter went into rehab the first time that we needed to make sure we put a lot of focus and attention on our relationship so that it wouldn't become another victim. One thing that helped us was to be sure that we had a date night. And now if it couldn't be every week, well, it was every other week, but we put it in our schedule. And we promised ourselves that during that time, we called it a no prodigal zone. Where maybe there were some things we had to just say on the way, but then we were going to not talk about our daughter. We were going to talk about other things, and maybe we had a hard time. Let's see, what are we going to talk about? But one day we knew that she would be on her own, and it would be just us, and we better take care of us. Some of the things we realized that were stressing us was we didn't both react the same way to the troubles that would come up. Sometimes he'd be more harsh, sometimes I would. And we take turns being lenient or harsh, not always agreeing on what to do. So we also agreed that we would be a united front, that we would be together on our decisions. And if we didn't agree, we would never disagree in front of her. We'd talk about that alone and make sure that we were always saying the same thing, because those kids are so smart, they know who they can go to and pit you against each other. So those are a few of the things that we became aware of and what we did. We also made sure that at least once a year, we went and did something special for our marriage, a marriage conference, a special seminar, something that just focused on us and built us up.
Our guest has been Dina Yoy. She's the author of You Are Not Alone, Hope for Hurting Parents of Troubled Kids. Dina, where can we get this terrific book?
You can get it on Amazon.com. You can also get it through Barnes & Noble. And our website, hopeforhurtingparents.com. It can be ordered.
Dina, thanks so much for the book. Thanks so much for your integrity, your honesty, and for perseverance in raising troubled children. You're a great example for us. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Abe.
I felt like I could have talked to Dina for another hour and a half.
I know. Well,
I really do.
Maybe you have to do that someday.
Maybe. Maybe. Right. Well, Fred, it was a pleasure being with you here today. And thank you to all of our listeners. The facts are that our listeners really, really are, and our supporters are the ones who make American Family what it is. So we thank you so much for listening to us and supporting us. And I just ask you to stay with us. Because we are on the front lines, but we would not be anything on the front lines if we didn't have access to our support system and our supply line. So we thank you so much for listening. This is American Family Radio, Today's Issues. Have a great day, everybody.